When I first opened, some people would meet each other and they only knew each other from Instagram and they'd call each other their Instagram handle name. And I'm like, oh, it's so cringy. If you own a business in 2024 and you don't use Instagram, you're missing a huge opportunity.
That kind of scares me, those Apple Vision Pro. They're terrifying, right?
Yeah. What's even more terrifying is everything Elon Musk does, his like Neuralink stuff. The thing that I hate the most about it would work so well for me. Think about how much you do on your phone for business, answering so many DMs. If you have that thing, you just think about answering it and it does it.
Where do you see AI being integrated into local gyms and or franchises of gyms?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, that guy DME is all about getting like sales leads.
Lead acquisition, like outreach. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Which I literally don't do sales.
Yeah.
Like I've literally not, yeah, I've signed people up, but I've literally not sold anyone on one thing. Mm-hmm. I kind of take the opposite approach where I'm like, yeah, come check out the gym. If you want to sign up, sign up. If not, no worries.
Pay,
like,
sure, you can pay.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. And I think, well, I think people like it because of that. So I think most, like if you go to eSporta or something, they have a sales guy that kind of sells you on it and takes you in the back office and like, all right, well, you know, contract and blah, 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 blah.
They don't even spit on it.
Yeah. Right. You know, yeah.
It's like dry ink.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which I think I'm kind of a brush of fresh air, in that sense, because it is kind of laid back. Like,
are you doing, you don't do contracts either?
Mm-hmm. Month to month, cancel at any time.
Do they sign like is there like a terms and conditions or?
Yeah. I mean, okay. There's like a waiver.
Okay.
Info, okay. Stuff like that. And then they have to put on a card to, you know, initiate the membership. But they can cancel whenever they want. Cause most gyms have a contract where, you know, you got to do it for a year or you got to pay this cancellation fee or, you know, blah, 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 something like that. Which when I first opened, I thought about it, but like I said, I've always kind of found more success on being relatable and just like real laid back. So I think people do appreciate that. And I think more people have signed up and kept it for that reason than they would have if I did have like, you know, a contract or something like that.
Yeah. It feels like less, yeah. Just the less transaction or less like being locked in or anchored in.
Yeah.
It's hard to find.
When I did first open, I did try to outsource like as much as I could.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I
like
am
what,
like
what certain things.
So like I have a, it's called Gym Master, like membership stuff. And it kind of runs the cards on a, you know, a monthly basis.
Yeah.
The key fob system at the door kind of outsources, having to have someone at the front scanning people in like 24/7, a vending machine to, you know, sell like snacks or drinks. So I don't have to do it, you know, 24/7.
Yeah.
Just little things like that. But anything to do with like a customer service, I always just take the approach, like I have to do it myself. And I have to put kind of my personal touch into it. Cause then I think just being real nowadays kind of, you know, sets you farther ahead.
Yeah. And coming back to the competition as well, like, you know me, I'm pretty biased on a lot of like optimization stuff. I love red light therapy. I love sauna, cold plunge, deprivation tanks. You don't have that. And I've told you kind of from day one, I'm like, bro,
yeah,
when right. You get in the sauna, yeah. When you get in the cold plunge,
it's on the list.
Come on now. Let's go, baby. Let's go. And there's other gyms that locally here are potentially going to have that in the near future. And coming back to like competition, coming back to other local gyms. I mean, look, Columbus, Ohio is, you know, the Mecca of powerlifting, Westside Barbell,
yeah.
Right? So shout out to Westside Barbell and also RIP, because, you know, that's a crazy story in itself. Never would have imagined they just shut down, I believe. But it also kind of comes back just even with Westside Barbell, the importance of building a brand that is bigger than you, because it seemed like it had gone a little sideways since the passing of, what's the owner, the old owner's name?
John Blank.
Yeah. Fucking legend too. I don't know how we're, Louis Simmons. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yep.
Shout out to Louis. But I personally never went there. I've always wanted, it was like a dream of mine. I was actually going to go like 2 weeks ago. And my buddy's like, yo, dude, they closed down. We're like, what the fuck? Westside Barbell closed down? But I think it just shows you like the power of personal brand with Louis Simmons to not transitioning that into like also being able to and try to take this lightly, because I don't know if this is the people you want to start giving some unsolicited advice to. But the power of personal brand and also the power of building like a faceless brand,
right,
something that can be like a legacy, that can be immortal and live past you after you're gone.
Right.
So I think that's an important thing to learn and to just witness in your seat, right? Being a gym owner, like,
right,
man, if something would happen to me, I would want Sparked
to keep going.
Keep going. Yeah. But yeah, what do you got going on? What are you bringing to the gym? Can you drop some hints of what?
I actually have a hack squat coming any day now. Just kind of like a traditional, like, if you ever seen like, yeah, if you ever seen like the videos of like Ronnie Coleman back in the day, like hack squatting, like
10 plates on his side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have one of those coming.
Isn't he like actually paralyzed now from hack squat?
He's in a wheelchair.
Holy fuck. I mean, that guy trained fucking hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And he did bodybuilding in a, like a powerlifting way. So, which people like, no one really kind of does it on that level anymore.
Like he was doing powerlifting numbers as a bodybuilder.
Yeah. So he was like probably 8% body fat in, you know, squatting like 700-800 pounds, which that takes a toll on your body.
Yeah, his spine and
yeah,
just that's another thing that, sorry to cut you off, but we were talking about before we went live is personally where I think health and wellness and fitness is going is that optimization route, right? Like leaning right, more into a holistic approach with health and wellness of like meditation, psychedelics, sauna, cold plunge, you know, sleep, which shoot, I could get way more of that, but also getting away from, would you argue to say getting away more from iron as well, getting away from like metal and getting more into like straps and bands and bamboo bars, hack squat stuff?
Yeah. Cause I mean, anyone who works out in like a bodybuilding way nowadays, and I say bodybuilding, I don't mean like you have to be like competitor, FBB bodybuilder, but
yeah, I think you don't have to be like on my level or anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I think people are just getting smarter. Like, I know if I just personally use like a plate loaded machine and I work out, just say chest press, I get way more, you know, muscle contraction and I'm activating way more fibers in my chest than if I do it with a bar. Cause in the machines nowadays are, you know, crazy advanced.
Yeah.
And people are just realizing you get way more out of that than, you know, spending more effort and messing up your joints or, you know, tearing down all your tendons, you know, doing the old school compound lifting, which, you know, if you're strength training, that's a whole different sport. Kind of, we said that before, but, I think people are just getting smarter. And it's not, I don't think taking the easier route, but I think it's just taking the, using more brains.
Like longevity, right?
Longevity too, yeah.
Yeah, instead of like squatting, you know, your 90% max or 100% max once or twice a week, it's like maybe once a month or maybe not at all.
Yeah.
And you're just like hitting different type of movements and yeah, just also different machine, right? Just different pieces of equipment. What else do you guys have on the way?
I'm getting more treadmills, which I know you saw that one I got. I got two more coming and a hack squat.
I love just your videos, bro. You just have like a fucking treadmill in the back of your truck.
Yeah,
you're just
like
building random shit every time you walk in the gym.
Yeah, yeah. Getting that truck is probably the best thing I ever did because I can just go pick up something. I see it, I go pick it up, bring it to the gym.
Hell yeah.
You were
contemplating like,
yeah, I remember talking to you about it. Yeah.
I want to maybe buy this truck. And I'm like, dude, you work your ass off, buy a truck. And then we were talking about like the depreciation write-off and different tax write-offs on the business. But then also it's that intangible write-off of being able to make very quick decisions on like, oh, I literally saved $300 on the treadmill, maybe got it for free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I have a truck. I can go pick it up right the fuck now.
Yeah.
So it paid for itself. And
shipping nowadays is crazy.
Yeah.
Then you got to wait. And then, you know, as a whole.
It's coming from China.
Yeah, right.
You can't have it come from China.
Yeah, no. Not anymore.
Which by the way, where is this stuff getting made? Your guys' merch
here? It's called Printed by Pops. It's on Indianola right by the gym.
Oh, so it's local.
Yeah. He actually made the logo on the back too.
Okay.
So they kind of do everything for me really. I usually, I have a good relationship with him. So I kind of text him like ideas I have and then he kind of puts it together. So it works out really well. And again, like they're right up the street so I can just go pick it up. I don't have to shipping or, you know, nothing like that.
You looking for another location soon?
I look every once in a while. Yeah. I would like, if the perfect location was available right now, like it was close in the area, probably double the size, more parking, I'd hop on it. Columbus is just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like that's probably the only competition I really see is from like other businesses, like taking spaces I want.
Not actual gyms.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah, you ain't worried about
that. Yeah, kind of like we talked before, like I feel like there's so many people in Columbus and fitness is such a big thing now with people. There's no reason that, you know, you should view it as competition. I don't think, like there's no, as long as you're not copying someone, you know, if you're all copying the same blueprint, then yeah, it's probably more competition. But I think like you said, you want somewhere with more, you know, sauna, cold plunge, that type of vibe. And you know, everyone has their own characteristics.
I feel like I actually have not gotten, like, I'm not just saying this, but like, I haven't gotten a legitimate good workout in like probably 2 months, maybe 3 months. There's something weird about your gym that, and I ain't just saying this because you're here.
No, like, that's why a lot of people that, they'll leave and they'll go somewhere else. They literally
usually like their couch.
Yeah.
And they're just being like, all day long. They're like can't fucking get it going.
If like they, you know, live a little bit farther away, they're like, oh, I want something closer to my house or something like that. They literally always come back.
They always come back.
Cause I think that's my main seller is atmosphere and just having a place with character.
Yeah.
And I think that's a hard thing to replicate.
What about the, how much gear are those fucking kids on there? Why the fuck is everyone so strong? I know he's on some shit over here.
Yeah, that's.
I saw him in the back room. He was fucking tapping it up.
You know, that's.
How much? Because it seems like either one, I'm insecure and these kids are just fucking jacked.
They are jacked nowadays. Yeah.
Is it like, am I official? Are we old men now? I think I'm like, I'm talking from like an old man's stance.
I don't know about me.
But it's different, bro. Like I see, and I'm like, no, I know, dude, I was not that.
Yeah, they'll be like 18, 19, and they'll just be
fucking huge.
Jacked. Yeah. I think one.
And I can kind of tell. I feel like I can kind of tell. I'm like, oh, you're on shit.
Yeah. Well, I think one is it's such a popular thing to work out nowadays.
Yeah.
So everyone gets into it, and then more information is just out there.
Yeah.
So mainly from like, you know, Instagram, TikTok and stuff like that. I think there's not as many dudes on stuff that you probably think. Honestly,
you ain't supposed to say that,
which there's definitely more than when we were 18, 19, like there's more just average dudes, like, but it's just so the information and stuff like that, just, there's so much out there, you know? So we're like back in the day, it was like, even if I was 18 and I wanted to, you know, hop on something like, I don't know how to do that or like what to do or anything like that.
Yeah, nowadays, we just had like bodybuilding.com.
Right.
We would go to like bodybuilding.com after like
creatine. I thought I was fucking up my life.
Yeah.
My mom was like, don't do that.
That's that Griselda Blanco shit. Where'd you get that from?
Yeah. Yeah. Back when we were growing up, it was like creatine was like,
dude, going to GNC to get protein powder, you're like, bro, are you going to?
Yeah, right.
Are you getting some?
Yeah. And looking back, the stuff that they had was a waste of money.
Do you remember the OG like pre-workout? That one that had like meth in it?
Jacked 3D.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was addicted to that. and then they had like a fat loss pill.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like Oxy Elite Pro or something like that. And
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember taking that. I think it was honestly like, it was like Adderall or something in there.
Yeah. Like it had like the little beads in it too. Yeah. Like the OG Adderall, like the extended release.
I remember that stuff worked so good though. And then like someone died and fucked it up for everyone.
But fucking pussy.
That's how it always goes.
Yeah. It was like jumping in Mirror Lake. Oh yeah. Someone had to die.
Yeah.
Fuck it all up.
It's like anytime anything like works too good, they're like, all right, that's legal.
Yeah, we got to kill one of the clones.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's looking too good now.
So kids are just, just information, right? Like instead of, and just opportunity. I mean, you see these massive $100 million, $1 billion companies being built by kids in their 20s that, are in health and wellness and fitness. And
that's one reason I love like social media, because that information is out there and it gives kids more motivation to do stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we're like when we were 18, 19, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, if I was working out, I was just doing stuff I remember doing in football weights, you know, which is like powerlifting.
Yeah. But, you just like clean 225.
Right. Yeah. And I'm just like a normal dude working like a normal job. Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
You know, it's not doing anything for you. So I think honestly, just the information that's out there, which kind of like any aspect of life, I think like starting a business, like the first thing I did was I Googled like how to open a gym. Mm. And you know, there's so much information out there now that if you really want to do something, like you can figure it out. So nowadays I feel like kids like 16 to 18, they're like, see all these dudes on like Instagram, TikTok, and they're, you know, big and ripped and seem like they have like the perfect life or something. They're like, I want to be like that guy. You know,
do you see that being a problem having a gym for a couple of years now? How many people are like filming content in your gym? How many of them might be already suffering from the mental health side of social media?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what would you say to those that are like members of your gym, maybe listening in, that might be secretly battling that in their head? Yeah. They're like,
when I first opened, people would meet each other and they only knew each other from like Instagram, and they'd call each other their Instagram handle name. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's so cringy.
What's up, Big Dick Bandit?
That's what they call me. Right.
It's weird.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's a problem for most people. I think most smart human beings realize like, yeah, social media is kind of its own little world, and you can use it to your advantage. You know, you can be like there's a lot of girls that go to the gym that are sponsored by clothing companies or, you know, supplements or something. So you can use it to your advantage. But I think, you know, living in that world and never coming out, that's definitely a scary thing. And I kind of feel myself when I first opened, like kind of going that way. Cause I honestly just kind of built the gym off of like Instagram, as far as like getting the word out. Mm-hmm. And I did kind of feel myself going like just all day on there and just living on there.
Yeah. Cause it's the creator economy, right? Like you're either producing or you're consuming.
Right.
But yet I think a lot of people don't also see the value of actually consuming to be able to like learn more, to be able to have more.
You can produce better.
Yeah, you can produce better, and you can just have more unique conversations and relate to people on things. But then, you know, again, there's this fine line of like clicking on your phone to see how much time you're on social media to say, wait, what? I was on my phone for 12 hours a day or 8 hours a day or 6 hours a day.
You can find a good balance, I think. Mm-hmm. Cause like if you own a business in 2024 and you don't use Instagram, then it's like you're missing a huge opportunity, you know? But also, again, you don't want to become your social media. You know, you don't want to be a real person still.
What opportunity do you see for yourself going more like, you know, you have companies like Gymshark, for example, these large companies that are working with these micro and, you know, big influencer type people, right? Like there's girls at the gym that work with some of these huge companies. What's your strategy on scaling the business for you in terms of like working with influencers? Mm-hmm. Is that something that you've thought of? Like instead of just like the income streams through the gym, just more local, how do you see expansion?
Yeah, I did a little bit at the beginning. Like when I first opened, I was thinking like, man, I would love to have, you know, some of these people with 100,000 followers come in the gym. And I kind of thought about, you know, reaching out to them or something like that. And then honestly, they came and they kind of did it for free. So I never really asked anyone to do anything except for probably two or three people at the very beginning. I just had, you know, I want to push the merch, stuff like that. Like help me do that. And, you know, I'll give you like first couple months free, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then after that, honestly, like the support for it kind of just came on its own.
Have you thought about like working with any of them? Like having them get a cut off of sales on merch or like pushing like more e-com?
I kind of thought about that, but I feel like that would kind of just go against everything that kind of works for me. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, just being like real and authentic and stuff like that. And it kind of works naturally.
Is it because it's not necessarily as much of like a money play for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, and again, I think that's kind of why it does good. Cause people can sense that, oh, this guy's not in it to, you know, just make a bunch of money or something like that.
Cause if you stop now, if you just like sold significant, I mean, technically if you didn't sell merch and you didn't sell, like if you just had the members that you had now, like you're probably pretty good, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm making enough to pay the bills and make a living.
Yeah. Just fuck your treadmills. Cause you ain't
getting yeah, more of the- yeah. Right. It's kind of like a hard thing to explain, I guess.
And I asked you that because a lot of times when you're getting into business and, or at least speaking on my experience, is like, you just want to like expand, but you can expand in the wrong direction instead of going really slow in the right direction.
Yeah.
So I admire that as well. As like, it's not necessarily as much like a money play for you. It's also making sure that your happiness is in check as well.
I think you can kind of overthink it too. You know, I kind of like just doing stuff I like and then going from there, mm-hmm. which it seems stupid, but I try not to like plan out and overthink everything.
What else is next? You got a hack squat machine. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Okay.
You have anything else exciting?
In the back of my head, I am saving up for like a bigger location. Then that would entail
drum roll,
sauna, cold plunge, more stuff. Mm-hmm. Cause the only reason, you know, I'm not able to do that now is I'm out of space.
Yeah.
I can't put like the sauna at the front door, you know? So yeah, I mean, yeah. In the back of my head, that's kind of what like the big long-term plan is.
What else do you see as like an opportunity from like a consumer behavior standpoint that you see with your members? Like, where do you see things going in terms of the gym or just like that generation in general? Cause like I think it's just, to me, I find it interesting for whatever reason that you're around a lot of like the quote unquote younger generation, right? Like you're around a demographic that's about a decade or so younger than us, most of which. I think it's almost like a cheat code because you can see like consumer behavior to say like, oh, they like to wear like streetwear style. They like to eat this type of food. They like to do these type of things. It's again, like a cheat code to an extent to where you can be a solution to that problem.
That's kind of like how the meals and the merch kind of came about. Mm-hmm. It also helps that I am and was like that person. You know, so I kind of honestly just do stuff I like. And cause I've like 90% of the dudes that come to the gym, like I was literally that person. Mm-hmm. I was like in college, going to the gym every day, kind of wanted to be a part of something more than, you know, just like a commercially gym. And that's, those are the people that like support me the most.
Have you thought about doing like meetup stuff or like networking stuff?
Yeah, I did like two at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. It's hard. I can't really do at the gym.
Yeah.
Cause it's 24/7. And I feel like I owe it to the people that pay to always have it available. Like if you're trying to work out, I'm not going to be doing some party or something there. That's like what I was thinking a lot. My 1 year anniversary. I wanted to like have a party there. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, there's probably people trying to work out, stuff like that. Yeah. And I feel like that's just like I don't want to take that away from them. So I just feel like I owe it. Like if you're paying a monthly membership, I feel like I owe it to you. Like you have the space, you know?
Yeah. Versus some guy that he might be huge, right? In terms of like a big name or whatever coming in town. You're like, hey, sorry, I got to take care of the people here.
Right.
And
yeah.
I got to take care of my people here that support me.
But yeah, like honestly, I feel like I am my demographic. So that's why I kind of feel like I just kind of like live my life and try to do cool stuff and it works out.
One of the cool things is going to be you having a gym and the metaverse or what? Are you going to have one of those fucking
maybe those new app, those new Apple things?
Dude, those things are terrifying. I just did a show. This guy, his name's Landon. He was a great dude, great guy to have on the show. I've seen him build his company for years now. And he works with like Apple products.
Yeah.
And he was talking about like working and unboxing the first set of those like a couple weeks ago. And then now, you know, because your phone is listening and everything, I'm just seeing like all these videos of people walking around down the street.
Pop up my phone as soon as I...
Yeah, now, yeah, exactly. TikTok's listening to you. But I don't know. That kind of scares me. Those Apple, you know, glass things, whatever they're called. What are they called? Apple Pro,
Vision Pro.
Apple Vision Pro. They're terrifying, right?
Yeah. Well, what's even more to me, what's even more terrifying is, so everything Elon Musk does, it just works.
Yeah.
His like Neuralink stuff. Oh, have you deep dove in that? I've went through some rabbit holes on that one.
Let's hear it. Because they just successfully completed the first Neuralink in the human brain, right?
I saw they were like looking for people to test it on, which the thing that I hate the most about it is it would work so well for me. Like if I got it, because dude, like think about how much you do on your phone, like for business, like answer, like some symbols, like answering so many DMs. Mm-hmm. Like if you have that thing, you just think about answering it and it does it.
Or like when you,
you know, I wouldn't get it, but
I might.
The thought of it is like, man, that would make my life. I would be so much more productive.
Yeah. You see, that's what technology kind of reminds me of is like the technology is like safety and security, right? It's like having cameras at every single block of your neighborhood.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, okay.
Which is like kind of a normal thing now.
It's very normal.
But if you thought around, like 10 years ago, you're like, oh, like, that's crazy.
That's crazy. We'll never let that. But then you're like, ah, well, I kind of get it because my kid is maybe playing in the backyard.
Yeah.
And I don't want anything to happen to them. But usually what happens is the more security you have, quote unquote, or excuse me, the more safety you have, the less security you have.
Right.
And
yeah,
in my opinion, the more technology you have, the less freedom you have.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or the more technology you have to connect people, technically the less connection people have. I think technology is creating disconnect more than
connect. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But then again, you can meet people across the world on social media. Then again, you can have...
Yeah, it's very like there's two sides to it. And they're both right.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
But Neuralink is crazy because you know when you read text messages...
Yeah.
And you don't respond. Hence, I think there was one, a DM to you that I forgot to respond to, but it's like those messages you're just going through your day, DMs, text messages, phone calls.
There's so much to do, emails.
Yeah. Emails. There's so much to do that you read it, you mentally respond, but you actually don't physically respond.
Yeah. That takes time and effort and like might be doing something, you know?
Yeah. Or you're like, oh, how do I want to reply to that? Right. So yeah, sure. I'm curious on what rabbit holes you went down with Neuralink.
Yeah, I mean it's scary to think about. Again, I wouldn't do it, but thinking about it, it's maybe. Like, man, like I would be 20 steps ahead of myself at all times. I don't know. It's a hard thing. Like I remember when like Instagram first became a thing. That was kind of like a big step. Like people like posting on there. I remember like I was in high school and like my mom wouldn't allow me to do it at first, like have like a Facebook or anything. And now it's like everyone has one. Like it's, you know, super common. So if it makes your life easier, but like you said, you know, you just get more disconnected to real life, in which again, I'm not trying to like toot my own horn, but like the things I do, I just try to be super real in the bit and people like love it for that. So I feel like it does going forward, give people like me or companies or, you know, just someone who wants to do anything. Like if you are a real person in a space where it's all AI or all technology and stuff, you kind of have a one up on people. And that's kind of, it's kind of where I found myself kind of finding my way into a successful place is kind of going against that, just being super real, trying to be super authentic.
So yeah, fuck that answer. What rabbit holes have you gone down?
Oh yeah. I forgot the question.
I want to hear,
you know, just conspiracies. You're like kind of a conspiracy. Like you like those.
Yeah,
kind of. Well, I feel like
kind of a lot of conspiracies I like, I feel tend like, to be true.
Yeah. So it's like, is it a conspiracy when it or comes true?
Is the truth.
Cause like, I think
it scares me that they can just shut your fucking brain off. They could just click a button.
Oh yeah.
Like these self-driving cars from Elon as well. And then you see the movie Leave the World Behind, where the self-driving car is just turns into a fucking missile and just starts blocking off the bridges and hammering into cars. And I think I just saw a video before we went fucking live, before you guys came over today, is a car on the interstate in California switched over a lane and self-driving, and it just slammed on its brakes in an 8-car pile up because someone just letting the car drive for them. It's terrifying. And then if you don't pay your taxes or you say something wrong on a podcast, they'll just shut everything off, or they click a button in your brain, you know. I think with phones too, I think at the end of the day, we can talk all day long about self-driving cars. We can talk all day long about terms and conditions of TikTok. We can talk all day long about Neuralink. I'm like, this thing right here.
Yeah.
This is the scary one.
Yeah. Cause I think that's the new biggest conspiracy that I see, is like the power grid shut off.
Oh yeah.
Like, Russia or China is going to turn off our power grid, and it's just going to be.
Yeah. Because in two weeks, best case scenario, I believe an average human being would survive 2 weeks maximum.
Yeah.
In the United States of America, if the power grid went off.
And all the millionaires are creating like bunkers.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Follow the money, dude. Like where's the money being made, but also what are the wealthiest people in the world doing? Right. It's almost that idea of like, they have to show you what they're doing, and, or it's like, well, it's insurance.
Right.
And I'd rather be safe than sorry. Unfortunately, you can't trade Bitcoin for a bag of rice or a piece of chicken if the energy grid is down.
Yeah. But it's like with the Neuralink thing, I feel like if a bunch of people get it, like say like 10 podcasters get it, and now all of a sudden they're the top 10 podcasts in the world above everyone, it's going to be like, well, I got to get this thing if I want to do it right, you know? I'm not saying that would be a thing, but
what are you trying to say, bro?
I think you should get it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pass, dude. I don't know. Yeah. Do you think that's the what the Bible talks about?
Right. Yeah. That's, you know, and I'm not like a huge Bible Christian person, but when everything that it talks about kind of comes to light, it's like
a little weird.
Yeah. It's like, I think, you know, you got to kind of make a decision.
Do you think Elon is good?
I don't know. I think about that every day.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
I don't know if he's good or bad. And I don't know if it matters if he's good or bad. I just think he has access to information. I think that he just also,
it's like an alien.
Yeah. I think he also, like, I think that was the play with X, formerly Twitter, was,
I think that was a great move by him. Now looking back,
because in reality, the world in terms of control is information and data.
Yeah.
Hence data centers, hence capturing all of our data. Like it was never a thing.
Yeah. And everything is so censored now. Like,
yeah,
the news, Instagram, like everything is so censored. Like, and he kind of has the only place now that you can literally say anything and they're not going to take it.
Here's where I think it was an interesting play that, that I, like when I saw him going to negotiate to get X and get Twitter, it was nothing to do with like censorship, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
It was,
well, he wants the data.
He wants to see what politicians and business people were DMing people. He wants to see,
which is kind of cool,
what backdoor deal. Oh yeah. Like dude, fucking dick pic for days. He's like, dude, that's Donald Trump's dick to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Which like, like long-term is he like good or bad? I don't know. I honestly think anytime he pops up on my stuff, I think about it. Like, should I be rooting for this dude or no? He's hard to root against, but then it's like, can get kind of scary, you know?
Yeah. Cause it's like, well, I come from small town Ohio and I've seen diesel fuel come out of a truck. And I will tell you right now, I don't think that's good for my lungs.
Right.
But I also don't think that seeing people get their arms chopped off in third world countries to be able to have the batteries
right
in the electric car that they can shut down with the button that can drive itself off of a bridge if you didn't pay your taxes.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty scary. I think he just has the information, the self-awareness to go, oh, wait, they're actually going to have these laws in place and or already have the laws in place that says that if you're not carbon neutral by 2030 or 2035. Yeah, he's like
20 steps ahead.
Yeah, he's like, well, I'm going to build a company that gets these tax advantages.
Yeah.
Whether I'm good or bad, it doesn't matter. And I don't care about people's opinion. This is just what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to play the game.
Yeah, and that dude works every day, all day.
Yeah.
Like he has, that's all he does is work on stuff.
Yeah. You think he's depressed?
I don't know. Cause like if I know if I was on that level, I always try to kind of peel back the layers when I see someone like that. Like why do they tick like that? And I don't know.
But I think when you, cause you can attest to this, you do what you love. So you work 24/7.
Right.
So I think it's all relative.
That's why I kind of think about stuff in that sense, because people kind of see me like I'll be there at 10 o'clock at night, like cleaning up the gym or something. They're like, damn, man, like you're here all the time. You're always working. I'm like, I don't really work. Like I don't have a job.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to do this.
I just got that OG jacked pre-workout. Baby.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I want to. So I kind of think about that. Like when I think about him, but I'm like, why does he want to do so much? You know,
I think he's also the prime example of the power of personal branding as well.
Yeah.
From being a billionaire, but in my personal opinion, like being a billionaire is a big deal. Obviously it comes with a lot of power and money and blah, blah, blah. But building a personal brand became way more lucrative with more power and more reach to where he could say, oh, cool. If I want to do Neuralink, I can, because I can tweet about it. If I want to go send rockets up to Mars, I can tweet about it because people know him and his personal brand.
Right.
So then we started seeing these other billionaires. Jeff Bezos, he got on some gear that your members are on at Spark Society.
Really?
Fucking dude got jacked as shit.
I didn't see that.
You should see like before and after photos of Jeff Bezos.
I'll look it up when we're done.
Divorced his ugly wife. He's like, here's half.
I remember seeing a picture of him like on a boat or something.
Just fucking jacked.
I saw one that he looked really bad.
Oh, really?
This is the last one I remember seeing.
Might've been me.
Yeah, I remember seeing that one, but then I haven't seen, recent.
It was funny because like I was just going down just like, wait, I think he's doing like a full blown PR campaign.
Yeah.
He just got jacked on TRT. He's like on a super yacht in Miami chilling with like hot chicks fresh out of a divorce. This guy's like, fuck it. I'm trying to make some content, baby. Let's
It's crazy like what a broken heart will do to you. Like how much you like elevate yourself, you know?
Or it was personal brand.
Yeah, too.
It's for the brand.
Right.
Told his wife to take a back seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole billionaire starting to create a personal brand is interesting because at the end of the day, I think wealth whispers. And I think that what's going on in like the Middle East, like Dubai, and that type of money where they don't have like a net worth, they don't disclose that information.
Right.
I think that's what's very interesting. They're like 17-year-old kid is like, hey, for my 18th, I want Ronaldo.
Right.
So the dad's like, all right, we'll buy him for $1 billion.
Yeah.
Send him over.
Yeah. I think at a much lower level, I think everyone should have some type of like personal brand like out there. Mm-hmm. So I know like when I was in the bars, the best thing I ever did was start like posting on my Instagram. Cause that wasn't my thought at the time. Like, oh, I got to start a personal brand so I can, you know, do all these things. But if I would have never did that, then when I went to do the gym, it wouldn't have been easy or as easy as it was.
So
to kind of get the word out.
So with people flooding into the marketplace every day, building a personal brand, whether it's a podcast show, whether it's people posting short form content on social media, whether it's them creating a YouTube channel, whatever it may be, what would you say to those that are getting started or maybe stuck in building a brand?
Yeah. I was just thinking about this the other day. I feel like a lot of people are in that scenario, mm-hmm. which I was always in. Like, I have this in me. I want to do something. I want to build something. I want something more than myself type of feeling. And they just don't know what to do. But I think the answer always is
OnlyFans.
That.
There we go.
That's a good one. Or just do something. Like start doing stuff you like. Like if you like cooking, just putting content out there about cooking. You don't know, you don't have to have an end game. Like you don't have to, like if you like camping or something, mm-hmm. there's so much opportunity to do something in that market where you could just start posting content. You could start working at Bass Pro Shop and you somehow like learn about tents. And then you're like, every tent sucks. Like I'm going to make my own tent or, you know, something stupid like that. Like my personal experience, like I kind of like ran the bars and learned how to run a business. So then I had the tools to open the gym and run it without even thinking about it. So I think so many people are like stuck in that little, I don't know what to do. I don't know like what route I want to go down. And they have like, you know, like their parents' influence and stuff like that. And it's just like, I feel like the answer always is just do what you like doing and you'll find the answers along the way. You know,
I think people should just do what they're passionate about as well. It's so cliche, but it's, you just got to, how you're going to monetize it. That's step 7, right? Like when it comes to creating,
you'll figure content, that out a year from now.
Yeah. It's usually a 4-step process, right? In the creator economy, it's mindset and then formulating your message. And personally for me, like my whole message for myself and the show that I try to remind myself of is like intention, you know, and mm-hmm. New Year's resolutions and goals and all that. Like my big word is intention, right? Like what's the intention of what I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to do, but then also the feeling, like how do I want people to feel when they come on the show? How do they feel when they are around me, whether it's face-to-face, whether it's virtual, whether it's on a phone call. But again, it comes back to mindset, message, method. Like how are you going to get this out there? And then lastly is monetization. Most people are like, oh, I want to do this, but how am I going to make money?
They think about monetization first.
Exactly.
And like you're not going to have that answer.
You're not going to have that answer if you have no idea.
Or it's not going to be right.
It's not going to be right. It's not going to feel right. And your message is not going to be aligned either. I'm a true, true believer in that. What else do you see with like technology and like AI and other things going on right now? You think they're going to shut our energy grid off and we're going to be, cause dude, I watched those TikToks at like fucking 2 a.m. of those dudes making like food out by a fire, on like a fucking stone. So I'm ready to go
down those rabbit holes all the time.
Oh yeah. I can go out there. I'll harpoon a fish. I'll clean it up and I'll have a campfire ready to go in 2 hours max. But, what do you see the next 5 years? What do you see as like a big opportunity in the next 5 years in business? Like I think, and to preface this, it was those that, in my opinion, that are like really making moves are those that built an audience, that put content out there that was focused on how can I get the masses, right? But also quality, like quantity and quality, but they were building online, right? They were putting stuff out online. Right. Look at the biggest, most wealthiest people in the world. Like they were creating content the last couple of years. And, but now what? Like what's that? I feel like this, like what's the next? Cause everyone's making content. Everyone has a podcast. Everyone is putting it's shit out there.
Diluted.
Yeah.
This kind of came up because I said like that guy DM'd me like the AI, like gym response. So I think the people that do the best in that realm are people who are just super kind of real, authentic, like they come off as a real person. And again, I think that's where in the next 5 years, it'll even be a bigger jump. Like if you are able to be a real person doing things you love doing, I think that is the opportunity.
You think everyone
is looking for the shortcut. Everyone looking for the easier way. Most gyms would have probably, you know, took a look at it and been like, oh, if I can outsource this to AI, that would be great. But I think the people who do go against the grain, go the other way. Cause I think 50% of the world is still trying to be a real person, you know, and they don't want to live online and they don't want to just consume content by robots, AI all the time.
Especially when it's like my robot talking to your robot.
Right. Yeah. Like that's crazy to think about, but that's kind of the way it's headed, you know, like, mm-hmm. like someone will have a AI translator that'll hit up the gym. Like, hey, like I want to come check out the gym. They'll just be thinking about it. And then the gym will be AI and like talk back, where if you can be that real person that kind of gives someone a breath of fresh air, you kind of jump to the top. Cause the AI stuff is growing every month. Like mm-hmm. it seems like there's a next level to it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's easy to like obtain.
I think what's going to be interesting though, is seeing how some of these brand deals are being done as well. Yeah. In business, like instead of these podcasters having a bunch of like strategic placements and partnerships in place, they're just going to go directly to consumer. Like they're not going to get a brand deal or have sponsorships and or limit them. It's going to be more of what we saw with like Joe Rogan, where I think that like Spotify and those platforms, yeah. social media platforms, are going to be more of the like the bridge between the sponsor to say, hey, if you want to sponsor Joe on Joe Rogan's show, you have to go through Spotify.
Right.
You can't go directly to him, but he has the okay to post on all platforms. You just got to cut him a big check. So then Spotify might be getting a cut off of
right.
the deals, the vitamin companies, yeah. whatever he's promoting. But then also these influencers, these creators that explode a company like Stanley.
Right.
Those little cups, right? Those Stanley yeah. cups that have been around for over 100 years.
I don't even know. How did that even become a thing?
Well, Stanley's like, been a company for over right. 100 years doing $75 million in revenue. And then they exploded to over 750 because you have chicks on TikTok making
videos. Is that what it was?
Shit going viral. So I think what's going to be interesting is, instead of,
that's all brands want now is they want to,
but I think what's going to happen is those brands are going to have less leverage. Those brands like Gymshark
mm-hmm.
going to influencers to say, yo, wear my merch and tag it and you get an affiliate or a discount code.
Right.
I think those influencers are going to be like, yo, I am 30% as to why you have a $1 billion company and there's 1,000 of us, but like I'm 30%. So give me equity.
Right.
And I'm sure those deals are going down.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah. Which
and or if they're not, I think they are going to be going down.
Yeah. The big thing with that is like streamers now.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like the next step yeah. of like content creators, like the Aiden Ross guy.
Yeah.
Like I don't really watch him, but like those dudes are doing like brand deals for $50 million. And so like they're making more than NFL players.
Yeah. They're making more than CEOs of companies.
Yeah.
They're making more than Jim Bob down the street that has been working for a company for 40 years.
Yeah.
But I think that what's going to be interesting is people going more like direct to the consumer and say, hey, brand, if you don't want to do it, no worries. I'll just go direct to the consumer and build it myself. Right. To an extent, like Logan Paul as well with Prime.
Yeah. Kind of like doing their own thing. Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, Celsius, if you don't want to give us this brand deal, we'll just create our own.
Right.
We'll just create our own $1 billion company overnight.
Yeah, which I have seen that a lot in like the gym clothing industry.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that was probably sort of like 4 or 5 years ago. That was such a big thing, like being a sponsored guy or something. Yep. But now I see like guys at the top, they just make their own.
Just create their own.
So like, I have these diehard fans that love me. Mm-hmm. They're going to buy they only buy this brand because I'm affiliated. Why not just do it myself? And if you're working with those brands enough, you know what they do. You know, you know their manufacturer and
yeah,
you know, stuff like that.
You see like a black swan event coming, like a COVID 2.0 coming. Do you see?
For sure. Yeah, something.
This year?
I don't know about this year.
Tell me some conspiracies, bro.
Oh, dude, I'm
no one cares about your fucking gym anymore.
Yeah.
Let's hear about some conspiracy.
Yeah. I mean, the power grid is probably like, you know, one of the biggest ones. I think it was going around like they're saying something about.
Do you have guns?
Maybe.
All
right. No, I don't.
Oh, fuck, dude, you are fucked.
I don't know. I think about it, but then.
You got that Jack OG pre-workout. You're good.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, I'll just.
Fucking just take the neighbors.
Be an animal.
Yeah, that's the terrifying one, dude. I still don't think people understand the importance. I have a background in understanding it from crypto mining and understanding how yeah. the grid works and the three parts of the grid and what can blah, blah, blah. I'm not an engineer when it comes to it by any means, but I know enough to go, oh, I think that's a problem. And also too, it just comes back to the electric cars by being whatever the technical terminology is where in California, for example, they're saying that you have to be on the grid with this electric car by 2035. Yeah. It's literally impossible for the grid to be able to handle that much. It will break the grid. Like you're in it, like your power would just go out.
Anytime I feel like they tell you have to do something,
mm-hmm.
then it's kind of like, I probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
The other big one is like there's so much about like aliens and like UFOs coming out.
Yeah.
So like they're supposed to be doing, you know, something with that. But I think like whatever does happen. Like
Project Bluebeam.
Yeah. I think whatever does happen is going to be something that there's no conspiracy around though.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, why would they, if someone kind of leaked the info, then they'll kind of ruin their whole plan.
What is their plan?
It's a tough one. Elon Musk knows for sure.
Yeah. I think it's like full control. Comes back to like the one world right. government stuff. When do you think there would be a potential crisis? Because we have the presidential election.
That's always around that, right?
Yeah. Or maybe shortly after. What do you guys think? When some shit going down? This year or next year? Next year? Yeah. Do you think they're going to keep it up on, might keep it up on stilts for now?
Yeah. Because I don't know. Like, I feel like if everyone's kind of expecting something, then they'll kind of push it off. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like something's happening all the time. Like even like the Tucker Carlson thing, like going to Russia, like.
I think that's going to be fucking wild.
I can't wait to watch that.
I think Putin's going to potentially just share exactly what.
I would like to see his perspective, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, cause everyone deems him as such a bad guy, but I don't know for sure. I don't know him. So.
Yeah. And we're sending a lot of money to Ukraine. And that's weird.
Yeah, it's always kind of like they only tell you what they want you to hear, you know? So
what do we do?
I don't know.
Make podcasts, I guess.
Yeah. I think it kind of feels better if you're okay with living with like, I don't have the answers. Like as humans, we always kind of like, we want the answer. We want to know like the facts.
Yeah.
But it's impossible. Unless you somehow know everyone and you have eyes everywhere.
I think the interesting conversation as well as currency, coming back to like follow the money and, the central banking system, the financial infrastructure with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and CBDCs. I think that's a very interesting topic and who created Bitcoin, right? Like Satoshi, is it Putin? Is it China? Is it the CIA?
Do you think that's still, because it's been like dying, right? In popularity?
What?
No.
No, Bitcoin. Yeah, no, it's here to stay. It's just wait. I think when I say just wait, it's also, you can see like how many addresses and wallets are being activated.
Right.
And it's happening at an alarming rate.
I have some just because like, I don't want to miss the train.
Yeah. Well, the big thing is just like the ETF that was approved, the Bitcoin ETF, which allows massive institutions that hold massive amount of money, like insurance companies or retirement accounts that say, hey, the baby boomers that have the biggest wealth, because the largest wealth transfer is going to happen over the next decade of small business owners passing that off, whether they retire or die, or they just own assets, right? The baby boomers have the largest wealth, own the largest amount of wealth. But they're going into the later years of their life. So that chunk of wealth, being able to have exposure to cryptocurrency, specifically Bitcoin, likely soon to be Ethereum, where X% of their retirement account is now being allocated and having exposure towards crypto. That alone could 2, 3, 4, 10x. Obviously, none of this is financial tax legal advice. Right. You know, billions, trillions of dollars could 2, 3, 4x the market cap of what's already in crypto by just our parents, for example, our parents' generation just having 10% of their retirement account now holding Bitcoin. And the other 90 is the traditional stock and bond portfolio, right? So I think that's what's going to make it interesting is how people start storing their wealth, because obviously making money, saving money, buying a house, those traditional methods, they just don't work now. It worked then. And I don't really like to have that argument. It's like, well, that was, no, I think it worked then. It just, things have changed now.
Right.
To where what got you here is not going to get you there. So I think that's the other interesting conversation is seeing what they do with the financial infrastructure. Because
you think the American dollar is, like they said, just...
Well, in the last 100 years, the American dollar has lost over 99% of its purchase power, and every fiat currency eventually crashes. And I don't think that America is any different, other than the fact that we have arguably the most powerful military in human civilization.
Right.
So I think that helps. I think it helps that I'm an American as well. You know, I think that definitely puts a lot to it as well.
Just watch your podcast.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, we got to keep this dynasty going.
Yeah.
But I think that, I think no fiat currency is better than the other, other than if you have a better military, eventually they all collapse. Right. And the reason why they all collapse is there's endless supply. That said, where the US dollar could transition that I find to be interesting is going from fiat dollar to like digital. Dollar,
Do you think that's in the next like 5, 10 years?
I think in the next 24 months.
Really?
Yeah. I think in the next 24 months, it could take longer, right? Because most things usually do, but I think it's here right now. I think it's because I've followed it for quite some time and I'm passionate about it, but also looking at the principle of follow the money, where you see BlackRock that basically owns the world,
right?
Where they say,
Do you think they call like 90% of the shots? Like, talking about like, do you think like they control like politicians and stuff like that?
Oh yeah.
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 I think so.
I think that there's like three companies, which is funny. There's like BlackRock, Citadel, and of course I always forget the third one, that own majority of things, but then they also own each other.
Yeah.
And then it comes back to like,
yeah, it's a hard thing to follow, I feel like.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to follow. But then also too, being a politician is arguably the best business to be in as well, because you can be Nancy Pelosi and make $250,000 dollars a year and have a couple $100 million net worth from insider trading.
Yeah, right. Their salary is like what, like 80 grand or something?
Yeah. Like you got to be slinging birds on the streets to turn that ROI.
Yeah.
You know, like that's... It's just completely, in my opinion, illegal. It's funny how you can make $250,000 and turn that into $250 million and tell your husband what you guys just voted on.
Right.
Buy the stock up, rinse and repeat.
Right.
Right. So that's an interesting conversation. I think just seeing what happens with the financial structure, coming back to like 2008 and the financial system of how these banks were bailed out. Right. They were giving out essentially like illegal loans, mortgage loans,
yeah,
to people that didn't qualify. And then they got bailed out. They got bailed out and said, biggest banks in the world. Right. I think seeing the banks potentially quote unquote fail and or evolve will be very interesting. Like we've already seen some pretty reputable banks fail, meaning everyone goes in to pull their money out of the bank.
Right.
And the money's not all the money's there.
Yeah. So if say I wanted your advice on like what to do with money, what would you say? Like say
financial advice.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean like say I have like a lot of like cash.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you should, you know, put it in the bank and then put it somewhere else? Or,
Yeah, obviously, again, my lovely disclaimer, not right, financial advice, right. But I think that it depends. The cliche answer depends on the person.
I guess it's like what you do with your life. Can you buy assets that
Yeah, it depends on the person. Like for you, for example, I would be like, yo, one, I think you already have this part really figured out, which is how much can you put back in yourself? How much right. can you put back in the business?
Yeah, just accumulate more assets, make everything more better.
Exactly. It's like, well, your business is the asset and the business went from, just using random numbers here, like the business went from generating $100,000 of revenue year one to generating $200,000, right? Like that doubled.
Right.
There's not many asset classes out there that are not extremely volatile and quote unquote high risk that can do those type of numbers.
Right.
And usually the business needs that cash, right? Especially the first 5 years. So for people that are like you, that are potentially sitting on a chunk of cash, that likely the business would prefer to have that cash excess there and the ability to reinvest to go, well, if I get these three additional treadmills, buy X amount of more, invest more into merch, I have a really good idea that my business will go from 100,000 to 200,000 and then 200,000 to 250. But then there's like that cost of diminishing return,
right?
Where you go, all right, well, if I do it year 3 to 4, I may not see a 50% return.
If I buy another 5 treadmills, does it still give that same?
And then it turns into the game of like, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's how much you keep.
Right.
Which is taxes.
Right.
And that's where strategically you go, I bought the truck. I bought the truck right. because I don't want a shitty vehicle and I need to show up and get work done and I feel better. Yeah. So there's like a immeasurable aspect, but like it's a legit write-off. Like there's actual tax benefits. So
I started seeing stuff about like billionaires, like they at the year end, that's when they buy like plane, like a jet or something.
Yeah. Usually it right up not the end of the taxes. Year. Again, it's not how much money you make. It's how much you keep. So a lot of wealthy people will wait towards the end of the year to make large purchases. Mm-hmm. That's when they buy the vehicles that weigh more than 6,000 pounds.
Yep.
That's when people will buy Teslas to get the tax credit for having an electric car. That's when people will buy the yachts and the boats. That's when they'll buy the planes. So it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep, right? But then it's also how much you invest as well. It's how much you compound. So then at that point, in my personal opinion, just from a tax perspective alone, like real estate's hard to beat. So again, for you, I'd be like, well, maybe that capital is going to be you buying the location.
Buying the next spot, yeah.
And not even because it makes quote unquote a ton of sense in terms of you saving money on rent versus having the mortgage or not a mortgage. It's more of like, yo, this is legitimately just a tax play.
Right.
For you to save on taxes. Then you might be able to carry losses forward to the following year. That's why people should highly consider. And again, 900 disclaimers here, not tax, financial, legal advice, but like just setting up LLCs and being like, oh, wait, I can put money into insurance accounts. I can put money into different retirement accounts and I can leverage those accounts tax-free. Because if I borrow from them, I can just keep playing the game. It's like a cycle, right? It's like a waterfall flow of just never ending loop of how do I make more money, keep more, invest more, rinse and repeat.
Yeah. Yeah. I know a guy that owns a business and he has like 5 LLCs now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, he's really like smart with that kind of moving stuff around. Cause he basically like rents his cars to himself.
Or it could be like, and again, this is like very careful sharing some of these things. Yeah. Right. But like it could be, your LLC, your real estate company buys the property for the gym. And then, Aaron Real Estate LLC rents to Spark Society.
Right.
So it's generating on that LLC.
Yeah. See, this is stuff I'm kind of interested in now mm-hmm. that like it means something to me.
Yeah. Cause when you start, like the biggest problem people have in life is they don't know how to fucking make money.
Right.
So it's like, hey, how about we go figure that out?
Right.
And then it's like, a great problem to have is like, hey, we should probably stop sending as much of this to the IRS or maybe send it to them in a different way.
Yeah.
And that's
it's crazy after, so I've obviously like managed a business and, we pay taxes and everything, but it's crazy when it's like coming out of your pocket, mm-hmm. like even just sales tax at the end of the year.
Yep.
That's why I say I don't like disclosing how many members I have because people start doing math like, oh, you make this much a month. It's like, dude, you don't know how much I pay in taxes.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many.
That's why real estate is in most millionaires' portfolio, not necessarily the passive income.
Yeah.
It's most of the time they're keeping a majority of that passive income. So for you to make $200 at the gym, you're keeping half of it because taxes, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're making $200 on a rental property after all expenses, there's a good chance you're keeping a majority, if not all of it, just because of writing off depreciation and certain things that come with tax incentives for real estate. So that's usually like the second play I see with people going from like, you know, six figures or multiple six figures to doubling that income or seven figures. Like those breakthrough moments is usually the creativity around, oh wait, I don't actually need to go make more.
Yeah. I don't need to work harder. I need to work smarter.
I need to optimize.
I need to do something.
It's like, do I really need to be squatting 500 fucking pounds?
Yeah.
Or do I need to be hitting different movements?
Leg extensions? Yeah,
exactly. It's similar with money. It's like, oh wait, I just need to keep more and that will actually grow my business 10%, 20%,
right,
which is very healthy growth. But that comes back to like Elon. That's where I'm like, I don't think he's good or bad. I think some things are just as it is what it is.
Yeah.
Meaning like he just knows that there's massive tax advantages of being in these industries. He knows that he might be able to raise a fuck load of money to buy X. And if it doesn't go well, bankrupt it.
Right.
I got all the information though. Right. And again, I don't know if that's all the details. So I don't want to speak out of context, but it's same with Tesla, right? Like all these incentives for having the electrical cars for him, he gets incentives from the government.
Right.
Right. So it's just coincidence that he's out to save us against the government, but the government's stroking him checks.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's interesting too, because he's not really on a side, right?
Like, I don't think he's out here. He just playing
like
the
now
game.
With like the uncensored, he's kind of appealing to like right wingers kind of, but he's always, you know, with Tesla and everything, he's kind of like, you would more think of him on the other side. So it's kind of weird how he's very good at like playing kind of both sides. Right.
Yeah. I think
it's hard for someone to love him and it's hard for someone to hate him, you know?
Yeah. I like the debate of it. Like I think thinking through it, I think it's interesting because he's doing so much and it's like, how are you doing all these things? Like what in the world?
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting because he's so impactful and he's so influential. Like Elon Musk, Taylor Swift, and Joe Rogan, they could choose the presidential election if they tweeted right now. Like I'm voting for Aaron.
Yeah, for sure.
I think you do pretty good.
They kind of join together.
I think you'd do pretty well. Would you trip up the plane?
Well,
I would bust my ass at least one time.
I feel like the president doesn't really make crazy decisions. He just kind of speaks, you know?
I don't know if he really does that either.
Anymore. Yeah, I feel like I'd be a good one. I'd be relatable to a lot of people.
You think you and Kamala would get along?
Probably not.
Where is she at? Have you seen her lately? I haven't seen her for months.
Yeah, it's just wild.
Who's going to be the president, you think?
If I had to bet money.
Donald Trump, baby.
I mean, that's how it seems. Like, dude, to me, like.
Oh, my God, like, dude. I got to see him debate. See him debate.
Dude, like, yeah, even if you love him or hate him, seeing like he's honestly like the goat at like debating.
Yeah. I think he's like up there as far as understanding the self-awareness of personal branding. Like he is the epitome of a creator, like just being a brand, like anything he wants to do, he just goes, yeah, I'm going to create this. And just, he's been doing it for decades.
Yeah. I think it's crazy now that I see rappers are, you know, very on the liberal side. He has like a lot of like rappers like tweeting, like, this is our guy now.
Who was that one kid? I just saw this the other day. He like brought him on stage a couple of years ago when he was having his Trump rallies or whatever they were. Like little, of course, a little something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Oh, man. Then one of them just tweeted the other day again, right?
Well, the one I saw that comes out to me is Meek Mill.
Meek Mill was supporting him?
Yeah. And he has like a million raps, like fuck Donald Trump and all that stuff. And now even he is like, you know, like supporting him, like, cause I think people just want, like, even if they don't like him, they like the thought of like real, mm-hmm. you know, like they don't want everything censored. They don't want like, you know, people lying, saying they're going to do something mm-hmm. and they don't, or just not explaining what they're doing. Like the Ukraine money and stuff like that. Like we want like an explanation, you know?
Yeah. And there's like a direct correlation to Hunter Biden, Ukraine. Right.
Yeah.
Like it's not even a debate. It's
there,
right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. There's just so much that people are, you know, it's like hidden that even if you are like on the fence or like you've always been liberal, I feel like people are just heading to the other side. Cause they're like, we want to, you know what's going on. And it seems like he's like the face of like going against the system now. You know?
Yeah. I just think that Hunter Biden's video of ripping meth and going like 150 miles an hour is still pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. He should live stream that next time.
Yeah.
Try to get
we're like, at least if that was like in, you know, Donald Trump was like the one responsible for it. Like, I feel like he would like get up there and be like, yeah, he's an idiot. You know, I don't know. You know, he would give like a explanation, you know?
What's the Kennedy guy? Do you think he has a chance?
If he wasn't so hard to listen to.
Yeah.
I feel like his voice is like so like raspy.
He could use a Neuralink.
Yeah, if that dude got a Neuralink, be game over.
Just toss some olive oil down his throat. He needs lathered up, dude. It hurts my fucking throat hearing him talk. You need a cough drop.
Yeah, no, the dude I thought was going to have a big chance was the...
Vivek?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that a name, Vivek? You don't know. You're a Hillary Clinton fan, aren't you?
Yeah, he was like, he was doing good, I thought. And then I don't really know what happened.
I think he needs some time. I think that he shared a lot, that's for sure. He's very intelligent, at least seems to be.
Yeah, he was on point.
I think his wife is actually a doctor here in Columbus or Cincinnati.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's like an Ohio guy.
Yeah, I feel like people like that just kind of get shut out, you know? Nowadays,
I think they're all silly. It just showed you, because I would say Barack Obama's second go around, I was like, oh, the president doesn't matter. You know, I was like, oh, it doesn't really matter. And I felt like during that time, it like quote unquote didn't. But then when Trump came in and like that whole thing, you're like, oh, I think it does. Like he really pissed people off and he said some wild stuff. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah. And it's then, like, why can't we have a middle ground somewhere, you know? Like, why are these our candidates? Like,
why is it a two-party system in terms of like, sure, you can be independent, but like, that's the perfect conversation in terms of like, divided we fall, united we stand, right? It's like, there has to be like balance, right? It's like the camera's right here. There has to be, in my personal opinion, like three minimum options in terms of like quality.
Yeah. I think like,
all I'm asking for is some more entertainment. I just need some more entertainment.
And
speaking of merch, Trump dropped some fucking merch too.
Yeah. He's good at marketing, man.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I feel like everyone was like so scared during that time though. It's like this dude could.
I kind of want a hat.
Yeah.
I kind of want to wear a hat, but what are they going to say?
Right. Yeah. You know, I feel like the independent would like, statistics are like the majority of people do fall in that category, but they want to vote that because like, they're like, my vote wouldn't matter. It'll go to waste.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what's going to be unique is like, are we going to start voting on X on Twitter?
Yeah. Why is the vote, like you can still mail in votes and stuff. Like, yeah. How is that still a thing?
I don't know. And it's an interesting one because at the end of the day, I think it's like Stalin, Joseph Stalin from the Soviet Union, a communist leader that says it doesn't matter who votes, it's a matter who counts the votes.
Right.
So I think that's what's going to be interesting with coming back to technology, like potentially integrating like blockchain technology through X and Twitter, for example, where they run a poll and everyone stops their day because it's a national holiday. And you can just click a button.
Do you think that people actually like, do you think they actually count votes though? Like, do you think it actually matters?
I think that it's
like,
that,
like if the person, whoever is running it doesn't want to win, do you think?
I think it can matter from a sentiment standpoint. I think it can matter from like, if you listen to Trump, I think he can create like divide for sure.
Right.
I think it can be a little unhealthy. But I also think, so I think from like a sentiment standpoint, it's like, yeah, he says some vulgar things and or some crazy things. And whether you agree with that or disagree, I don't know. I think it's more like a sentiment thing. Now, in terms of like actually mattering, I don't think so. Cause I think it's more of a corporate play. I think it's more of like, okay, when they get voted in.
BlackRock.
Yeah.
Is the only vote that matters.
Exactly. So it's like, even if Trump gets voted in, it's, well, I mean, that's kind of the debate with him, right? Is he funded it himself, from my understanding, or, you know, raised the money from donations, but like, who's controlling that person?
Right.
Like, where is the money coming in to fund them and their campaign? But I think from like a sentiment of like morale, I think it can matter for sure. I think it can matter. Like,
it matters to the public perception.
Yeah. Like if, I don't know, like a Joe Rogan, if Joe Rogan ran, I think everyone for at least like 6 months would be like, Joe Rogan's our fucking president. Right. That's pretty cool.
That, dude, yeah.
Yeah. No matter like what policies pass, or like, everyone I think is like a little bit more excited, but now it's the next 3.5 years or next 3 years or however many years that Joe Rogan would be president. For example, it's like, that's where it's like, okay, who's actually calling the shots.
Right. Here? Yeah.
But
yeah,
from a morale standpoint, I think for a short period of time, I think it does impact. I just want to see a debate.
Yeah. That's honestly the most like entertaining and like just the topics they talk about, you know?
I think what it did too, I think that, because most people don't want to talk about religion and politics, right? Like most people don't want to talk about religion and politics. And I think it's important because people should be questioning everything.
Yeah.
And I think that is kind of the beauty why people love Trump, is like, he was saying very direct things, like fake news. And he was like very, like he was just drawing the line in the sand.
Yeah.
Like his communication style was so unique.
Especially compared to other like politicians.
Yeah. I think some of I say this all the time. I think Barack Obama and Donald Trump are some of the best communicators in human history. Like you hear Barack Obama speak, I'm like, yo, that dude is super well spoken. Yeah,
whatever I'm listening.
Yeah. Like, and then you have Trump that's like Abdul, Abar.
He's like opposite. Like Obama's almost like he's like soothing almost. Like even if he's talking about something bad, he'd be like, well, today, American people.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, all right. Like this dude knows what he's talking about.
Kind of makes sense. All right.
I
see how you like Michelle. And then Trump's just like fake news. And you're like, yeah, that shit is fake.
You think like that's all the president does though? Really? Is like just give the news.
No, I would have said yes a couple presidents ago. I would have definitely believed that, but I think now you can see how like you can influence.
Right.
I think you can see how like Trump goes in there with what seems to be a spine. Like, nope, fake news. Next question.
Yeah.
But then part of it's like, maybe you're deflecting.
Right.
Right. Like, why did you not answer the question? Right. But then it's like, well, where's this other guy at? Can he even form a sentence?
Right.
Yeah, you know, crazy. Like it's very odd.
Yeah.
But I think that also the other idea of America is like capitalism and the beauty of it, but also just the abundance of capitalism is also very scary because it makes us soft as fuck and it makes you vulnerable. So when the grid goes down, y'all are fucked no matter how much fiat currency you have.
Right.
Or how big your corporation is or whatnot. So I don't know. It's a lot of it's fear mongering. I think that
they all just want to keep us scared about something.
Yeah. It's always to be scared about something in our brains. If there's not a problem, we like to create one.
Right.
So Bro, this was fun.
That's why I just go to the gym every day.
Yeah, bro. I'm just, you know what? Just go to the gym, work out.
Yeah.
Have some fun.
Your problems go away.
Yeah, just get a pump and you're good. I had fun, bro. Appreciate you hopping back on. Yeah. Anything else you want to share? Vote for Trump.
At
2024.
Gym. Yeah. No, I think that's all I got.
All right, brother. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Boom.